नमस्ते जगपते गौरवानुप्रचारिणे निर्विशेषपुण्यवादी सत्यात्मसारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द यद्वैताराधा श्रीवासवी गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Do you understand German, Mahaprabhu? Nothing. He could speak in English. Maybe you can go up in my room and look for the fifth canto, chapter 19. Let's just see, because there are two volumes. So before starting this little reading session and then going over again to chanting Bhagavata and Hare Krishna, I would just like to welcome first of all of you to the celebration, and stress a little bit the importance of this. In several of our ISKCON temples throughout the world, Srila Prabhupada has installed deities of Lord Ramachandra, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman. For instance, in London, we have a temple in Bombay. Deities are worshipped there. And as far as I know, also in Washington, Prabhupada wanted actually that Lord Rama rules Washington, the capital of political town of the most powerful nation on the planet. And we have also colorful festivals in Washington, which take place under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada. Especially in Delhi, still there is this festival of Ram Vijaya Mahotsava. There's a huge place for doing this effigy, zu Deutsch etwa Formen, of both Ram and Ravan put up, and rockets are shot on strings which hit the form of Ravana, who is sometimes up to 20 meters high, maybe 15 meters high, and who burns before the cheering crowd into a heap of ashes. So today in India there will be a lot of fighting going on between fanatical Muslims and fanatical Hindus, and this little festival today where we try to remember Ram, chant his holy names, I think it's a very important festival in the sense that we as devotees of Ram are coming on the transcendental platform, and from there we wish well to all these hot-headed karmis. In the summary of the Das, Das Avatar Stotra, Jayadev writes, as Ramachandra, you conquer the Rakshasa king Ravana. Lord Rama is celebrated because of this victory over Ravana. As Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu has quoted this morning, Ravana means he who makes the whole world cry. He's a very powerful demon who gained much of his awesome power by the worship of Lord Shiva. What is not known generally is that he was a follower of the Vedic scriptures. In fact, his yajñas were the best ones in the then civilized world. They were so attractive. His chanting of Vedic yajñas, yajña mantra, was so attractive that Swaha, the wife of Agni, felt compelled to attend in person his yajña. But Ravana's mentality was always, or is always, to enjoy that which is Krishna's or that which is somebody's else. It's a demoniac mentality. So one day he made a yajña, and whilst he was reciting the mantras, he saw all of a sudden the beautiful form of goddess Swaha emerge in the flames, and he became lusty towards her. His priest tried to stop the sinful dog, but he entered into the flames and took Swaha, kidnapped her by force to enjoy her. The priest said, "Wait a minute, let the yajña be finished before you do this sinful act." Stop, asked Ravana. "You are emotionally disturbed when you say that now the time of unity between a powerful man and a powerful woman has approached. There should be a stop. There should be a stop. You are emotionally crippled. Let the real yajña, the vivaha yajña, go on." That is the marriage making. So such a demon he was. He was so powerful that no one could resist his power, and therefore he tried once to even bring Narada Muni, the great spiritual master, under his control. He asked him for initiation, and Narada just bluntly told him, "I think you are totally disqualified." "What? Don't you know that I can chant the Vedas better than anyone on the planet? What other qualifications do you require? You have not a drop of sanity in your head," said Narada Muni. At this, Ravana, who first wanted to obtain initiation and guidance, totally turned against his chosen spiritual master. In fact, he took weapons into his hands and began to attack Narada Muni to force him to accept him as a disciple. You can just see what a demon this was. When he attacked Narada Muni, he was witness of something which is also explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was attacked by the Bataharis, the gypsies of southern India, the weapons which were hurled to hurt Mahaprabhu turned against the aggressors and cut them to pieces. In the same way, the powerful weapons which Ravana used to in order to force Narada Muni began to turn against Ravana and attack him. In this way, he stopped his demoniac aggression towards Narada Muni. So you can see Lord Rama is celebrated in relationship to Ravana, as he who conquered him and took the life force from Ravana. Ravana is the sum total, you could say. I mean, he's not a symbolic figure, but in his psychological makeup you find the demonic mentality in its maturity or position. So today we thought of reading a few prayers to Ram, the conqueror of the wicked and evil demon Ravan, whom we can also worship as the conqueror of the demoniac mentality. We will read from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 19, a few slokas, and then return back to chanting the glories of the Lord. Shri Shuka Uvacha Kim Purushe Varshe Bhagavantam Adi Purushan Lakshmana Grajam Sita Biraman Raman Tacharana Sanikarashar Virata Parama Bhagavato Hanuman Saha King Purushair Avirata Pakti Upaste. Srila Sukadev Goswami said, "My dear King, in Kim Purusha Varash, the great devotee Hanuman is always engaged with the inhabitants of that land in devotional service to Lord Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshman and dear husband of Sitadev." Text 2. A host of Gandharavas is always engaged in chanting the glories of Lord Ramachandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanumanji and Arishtisena, the chief person in King Purusha Varsh, constantly hear those glories with complete attention. Hanuman chants the following mantras. So apparently there are Gandharavas engaged in glorifying the Lord with choice musical instruments and interesting melodies. Hanuman, who hears these glorification, in turn also chants mantras glorifying Lord Rama, and we will hear them in a little while. These are perfect mantras because they are spoken by the perfect servitor, as we heard this morning. Purport. In the Puranas there are two different opinions concerning Lord Ramachandra. In the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, this is from Rupa Goswami, this is confirmed in the description of the incarnation of Manu. The Vishnu Dharmotara describes that Lord Ramachandra and his brothers Lakshman, Bharata and Shatrughna are incarnations of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha respectively. The Padma Purana, however, says that Lord Ramachandra is not an incarnation of Vasudev. He is an incarnation of Narayan, and that the other three brothers are incarnation of Shesha, that's Lakshman. So he's not Sankarshan, but he's Shesha. Instead of Pradyumna and Aniruddha appearing as Bharata and Shatrughna, here the Padma Purana says Chakra and Shankha, that is the fire wheel, and the conch appear as Bharata and Shatrughna. Therefore, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana has concluded Tadidam Kalpa Beda Naiva Sambhavyam. Now, this is very interesting to hear how this apparent contradiction, Hare Krishna, is solved. Verstehst du Englisch? Wir sind nämlich so, wir sind noch nicht ganz sicher, in welcher Sprache wir hier uns bewegen. Eine kleine Sekunde. Who of you does not understand German, but only understands English? Ist irgendwann. Das ist so wie so ein Jumpstart von einem Auto. Man muss ein bisschen anschieben, das, und dann läuft das irgendwann. Verstehst du Englisch? Yeah?
Good.
I will. So there is a contradiction in the Padma Puran and in the Vishnu Dharmatara. Now Baladev Vidyabhushana is going to solve it. He has said, Tadhidang kalpa bedenaiva sambhavyam. In other words, these opinions are not contradictory. Why? In some millenniums, Lord Ramachandra and his brothers appear as incarnations of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And in other millenniums, they appear as incarnations of Narayan, Shesha, Chakra and Shankar. The residence of Lord Ramachandra on this planet is Ayodhya. Ayodhya city is still existing in the district of Hyderabad, which is situated in the northern side of Uttar Pradesh. So, we will now hear the mantras recited by Hanuman in glorification of Lord Ramachandra. Om Namo Bhagavate Uttama Shlokaya Nama Arya Lakshana Shila Vrataya Nama Upashikshitat Mana Upasita Lokaya Nama Sadhu Vadanikashanaya Namo Brahmanya Devaya Mahapurushaya Maharajaya Namaiti. Translation. Let me please your lordship by chanting the beach mantra Omkara. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all the good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you are always in control of your senses and mind. Acting just like an ordinary human being, you exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, but you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by Brahmanas. You are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. And then Hanumanji chants this mantra. Yatat vishudhanubhava matramekam svateca sadvasta guna vyavastam pratyak prashantam sudiyo palambhanam jnanamarupam niraham prapadye. The Lord, whose pure form, Sachid Ananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature. And because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us firmly be fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. So he is describing, Hanumanji is describing, that the Lord's body can only be perceived in pure consciousness or Rama consciousness, Krishna consciousness. In the Vedanta, it is described that the Lord is not subjected at any time to the material influence. There is an example offered of two fishes who swim in the water and see the moon. They swim towards the reflected moon in the water and ask him, oh, what kind of fish are you? In other words, they think because he is appearing in the same atmosphere as water, he has become also an aquatic Wasserlebewesen, fully under the rules of living in the water. In the same way, foolish people, manushyanam sahasrishu, no, foolish people, muruyam abhijanati, it said, they don't know abhijanati, the transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who remains the Lord and Master of the modes of material nature, although appearing in the midst of them. So, because he is totally pure, he can only be seen in pure Krishna consciousness. Hanumanji offers his respectful obeisances to that Supreme Lord. So, let us just read one more of these beautiful mantras in glorification. I just want to read you some very important. Prabhupada starts his purport with writing the verse which was quoted this morning, Ramadi Muti Shukalani Yamena Tishtan. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who is always situated in various incarnations such as Rama, Narsingha, and many, many sub-incarnations as well, but who is the original Personality of Godhead, known as Krishna, and who incarnates personally also. Krishna, who is Vishnu Tattva, has expanded himself in many Vishnu forms, of which Lord Ramachandra is one. We know that the Vishnu Tattva is carried by the transcendental bird Garuda and is equipped with different types of weapons in four hands. Therefore we may doubt whether Lord Ramachandra could be in the same category, since he was carried by Hanuman and not by Garuda, and had neither four hands nor the Shankar, Chakra, Gada and Padma. Consequently, this verse clarifies that Ramachandra is as good as Krishna, Ramadi Mutishu Kala. Although Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra is not different from him. Ramachandra is unaffected by the modes of material nature, and therefore he is Prashanta, never disturbed by those modes. Unless one is saturated with love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot appreciate the transcendental value of Lord Ramachandra. One cannot see him with material eyes. Because demons like Ravana had no spiritual vision, they consider Lord Ramachandra an ordinary Kshatriya king. Ravana therefore attempted to kidnap Lord Ramachandra's eternal consort, Sita Devi. Actually, however, Ravana could not carry off Sita Devi in her original form. As soon as she was touched by Ravana's hand, she gave him a material form, but she maintained her original form beyond his vision. Therefore, in this verse, the words Pratyak Prashantam indicate that Lord Ramachandra and his potency, the goddess Sita, keep themselves aloof from the influence of the material energy. See, this is a very good explanation how the Lord is always transcendental. When Ravana, who was a creature of this world, came to capture Sita, he could not catch the original Sita Devi. He got a Maya form. Prabhupada uses this as an illustration to Krishna's disappearance. When Krishna disappeared, they found a body of his. And the demons say, well, he died. Look, we found the body. However, this body which they found was a Maya body. It was a manifestation of the Vishwarup, the universal form of the Lord, and not his transcendental body in which he appeared and in which he also left. Ajopi san avyayat ma bhutanam ishvaro pritam. The Lord is always fixed in transcendence beyond the mode, and he can be perceived in the Vasudev stage of consciousness, of Vishuddha consciousness. Then, so what? let us jump a little bit, because it's rather long and we will not be able to hear all the mantras if we read the whole. But here it is, here's a very important point. The Jivatma is different from his name. We are different from our names, but the Paramatma is not. His name and he himself are one and the same. This is the meaning of Niraham, which means without material designation. This word cannot possibly be twisted to mean that the Paramatma has no ahankara, no I-ness, no identity. He has his transcendental identity as the Supreme. This is the explanation given by Srila Jiva Goswami. According to another interpretation given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Niraham means Nirnishchayena Aham. Niraham does not mean that the Supreme has no identity. Rather, the stress given by the word Aham proves strongly that he does have his personal identity, because Nir not only means negative but also means strong ascertainment. Niraham means he is an I, he is an I-ness, or identity. So let us hear the last shloka for now, and then we will go over to the chanting. Für unsere deutsch sprechenden Nicht-Anglikaner kurz, wir werden noch einen kurzen Text lesen und dann ein bisschen die Herrlichkeiten Lord Ramachandras singen, da kann man mitmachen. Madhyavataras tviva madhya shikshanam raksho vadayaivana kevalam nibho kutonyata syad ramata svatmana sita kritani vyasanana nishvarasya. Translation: it was ordained that Ravana, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramachandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. It was his mission. As Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu quoted today, Srila Prabhupada, he is a self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? This is a very, very interesting purport. Please hear with rapt attention. It might change your whole attitudes in life. Purport: when the Lord appears in this universe in the form of a human being, he has two purposes, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. To destroy the demons and protect the devotees. To protect the devotees, the Lord not only satisfies them by his personal presence, but also teaches them so that they will not fall down from devotional service. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra taught the devotees that it is better not to Kandu Tivan Manasiyam Vishahetadira. Kripanas, those who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge and who are therefore just the opposite of Brahmanas, generally take to family life, which is a concession for sex. Thus they enjoy sex again and again, although that sex is followed by many tribulations. This is a warning to devotees. To teach this lesson to devotees and to human society in general, Lord Sri Ramachandra, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, underwent a series of tribulations because he accepted a wife, Mother Sita. Lord Ramachandra underwent these austerities, of course, only to instruct us. Actually, he never has any reason to lament for anything. Another aspect of the Lord's instructions is that one who accepts a wife must be a faithful husband and give her full protection. Human society is divided into two classes of men, those who strictly follow the religious principles and those who are devotees. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra wanted to instruct both of them how to fully adopt the discipline of the religious system and how to be a beloved and dutiful husband. Otherwise, he had no reason to undergo apparent tribulations. Just see, for those who strictly follow religious principles, he gave the example that one must protect his wife. Therefore, he went to through great troubles in order to save Sita from the hands of Ravan. And for the devotees, he had a different instruction, that is, to not marry. One who strictly follows religious principles must not neglect to provide all facilities for the complete protection of his wife. There may be some suffering because of this, but one must nevertheless endure it. I mean, that doesn't... it goes on. That is the duty of a faithful husband. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra demonstrated this duty. Lord Ramachandra could have produced hundreds and thousands of sitas from his pleasure energy, but just to show the duty of a faithful husband, he not only rescued Sita from the hands of Ravana, but also killed Ravana and all the members of his family. Another aspect of the teachings of Lord Ramachandra is that although Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his devotees may apparently suffer from material tribulations, they have nothing to do with such tribulations. They are mukta purushas, liberated persons, under all circumstances. It is therefore said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Yata dekke vaishnavera vyavahar dukha nishchaya janihataha paramananda sukha. A Vaishnava is always firmly situated in transcendental bliss because of engagement in devotional service. Although he may appear to suffer material pains, his position is called transcendental bliss in separation, viraha. The emotions a lover and beloved feel when separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Therefore, the separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita Devi, as well as the consequent tribulations they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. That is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So these two instructions here, by his personal example, Lord Ramachandra taught the devotees that it is better not to enter married life, which is certainly followed by many tribulations. Doesn't mean that someone who is married is not a devotee because he and only a religious person. No, this is certainly not what should be read or can be from this text. We have certainly very, very good Grihastha devotees. However, the instruction I think is very clear. So let us now that was Canto 5, Chapter 19, Verse number 5. So let us now request our Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu to send some more, maybe Hare Krishna or Sita Ram or whatever, or both. Don't you want to come here, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu? Then it's more lively for the audience to bring out das Mikrofon hier und trag Krishna Chaitanya bitte die Sache rüber, das Harmonium. It's much more nicer if devotees can see you. Then it's more lively, they can follow more. So, unsere Gäste, die gerade gekommen sind, bitte singt mit großem Einsatz jetzt mit. Wir können ja auch das Harmonium verstärken. Hare Krishna. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Mm-hmm. So we will continue our little reading with text number 6 of the 19th chapter, Canto 5. Navaisa atmatma vatam surittama saktas trilokyam bhagavan vasudeva nastri kritam kashmalam ashnuvita nalakshamanam chapivihatam mati. Since Lord Sri Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudev, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshman, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. In defining, this is a purport, in defining the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we say that he is full in all six opulences, wealth, fame, strength, influence, beauty, and renunciation. He is called renounced because he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is specifically attached to the spiritual world and the living entities there. The affairs of the material world take place under the superintendence of Durga Devi. Everything is going on under the strict rules and regulations of the material energy represented by Durga. Therefore, the Lord is completely detached and need not give attention to the material world. Sita Devi belongs to the spiritual world. Similarly, Lord Lakshman, Ramachandra's younger brother, is a manifestation of Sankarshan, and Lord Ramachandra himself is Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Lord is always spiritually qualified, he is attached to servants who always render transcendental loving service unto him. He is attached to the truth in life, not to brahminical qualities. Indeed, he is never attached to any material qualities. Although he is the supersoul of all living entities, he is specifically manifest to those who are self-realized, and he is especially dear to the hearts of his transcendental devotees. Because Lord Ramachandra descended to teach human society how dutiful a king should be, he apparently gave up the company of Mother Sita and Lakshman. Actually, however, he could not have given them up. One should therefore learn about the activities of Lord Ramachandra from a self-realized soul. Then one can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. So, here in this purport, the explanation of Leela is given, a transcendental play of the Lord. It is fully under the control of the player what happens in the play. In the same way, the episodes in Ramachandra's manifest pastimes are totally under his control, meant for our benefit. Text 7. Na janmanunam mahato na sobhagam na van na buddhiyan na kritis toshahetu tayar yat vishrishtan apino vano kashas chakara sakye bata lakshmanagrajaha. Translation. One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities, such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. So, please, now Hanumanji will explain to all of us how we can be related to Ramachandra. And he starts with a negation. He says, not by material qualities, as such as birth, beauty, eloquence, sharp intelligence, and so on and so forth, and a relationship to the Lord can be established. The reason is given in the verse before, where Lord Ramachandra is described as being totally unattached to anything in the material world, even Brahminical qualities. So none of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite, voraussetzung, for friendship with Lord Sri Ramachandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we uncivilized inhabitants of the forest have not taken noble birth, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends? See, this is a very touching verse. When Hanuman and his associates, the Vanaras, monkeys in other words, returned after the siege of Lanka, siege means an angriff, and then the victory over Lanka, they passed by a beautiful forest which was kept by Sugriva, the king, for his enjoyment. This forest was a monkey forest. You know, monkeys, what do they like? Good fruits and honey to drink and get all clouded in the brain. So when Hanuman and his other Vanaras passed this garden, they were in such... Actually, it was not after the victory over the Rakshasa army. It was when they came back from their search of Sita. They had found Sita. This is the exact situation. So they passed by this garden, and when they looked at the fruits and at the honey, they could not control their senses. They were really monkeys. So they gave the guardians a solid beating, and then just jumped on the trees and ate them and drank all the honey. That one guardian was called Daddy something, Daddy Baksh. His name was Daddy Baksh. He saw these monkeys, you know, just devastating the garden which was meant for the king. So Daddy Baksh went to the king, Sugriva, and said, "Do you know what happened? Hanuman and his men, they just destroyed your lust garden, your enjoyable garden. They couldn't control their senses. They even beat up our own people to just get to the honey. They're so monkey-like." So Sugriva said, let them go on. I have the feeling that they can only do such a thing because they are in good spirits. It must mean that they found Sita. If they were depressed, then a depressed monkey doesn't really have good appetite. So they must bring good news. They found a finally found Mother Sita. So let them go on. They can have my garden and destroy it totally. So therefore, see, this is one of the backer. Hanumanji says, if Ramachandra would require a civilized behavior, aristocratic family, personal beauty, eloquence, sharp intelligence, or the membership of a superior race or nation, then we would have no chance. We are uncivilized inhabitants of the forest. We have not taken noble birth, and we have no physical beauty, and we cannot speak like gentlemen. I mean, it's a total description for our own Western situation. So, nevertheless, Lord Ramachandra accepted his friend. Now, Prabhupada makes a beautiful purport. Please give your best in the category of your hungry attention. to listen to this. In a prayer to Krishna expressing her feelings, Srimati Kunti Devi called him Akinchana Gochara. The prefix A means not, and Kinchana means something of this material world. One may be very proud of his prestigious position, material wealth, beauty, education, and so on. But although these are certainly good qualifications in material dealings, they are not necessary for achieving friendship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who possesses all these material qualities is expected to become a devotee, and when he actually does, the qualities are properly utilized. Those who are puffed up by a high birth, wealth, education, and personal beauty, Yamaishvarya Shuddha Shri, unfortunately do not care for developing Krishna consciousness, nor does the Supreme Personality of Godhead care about all these material qualifications. The Supreme Lord is achieved by devotion, Bhaktiyamang Abhijanati. One's devotion and sincere desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the only qualifications. Rupa Goswami, one's devotion and the sincere desire to serve. Rupa Goswami has also said that the price for achieving God's favor is simply one's sincere eagerness to have it. Lolyam ekamulyam, ekamulyam. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is said, Kola vecha sevakera deka bhakya sima Brahma Shiva Kande Jara Dekhiya Mahima Dane Jane Panditye Krishna Nahi Pai Kevala Bhakti Ravashak Chaitanya Gosai. Behold, the great fortune of the devotee Kola Vecha. Lord Brahma and Shiva shed tears upon seeing his greatness. One cannot attain Lord Krishna by any amount of wealth, followers, or learning. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is controlled only by pure devotion. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very sincere devotee whose name was Kolavecha Shrita and whose only business was to sell pots made out of the skin of banana trees. Whatever income he had, he used 50% for the worship of Mother Ganges, and with the other 50% he provided for his necessities. On the whole, he was so very poor that he lived in a cottage that had a broken roof with many holes in it. He could not afford brass utensils, and therefore he drank water from an iron pot. Nevertheless, he was a great devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a typical example of how a poor man with no material possession can become an exalted devotee of the Lord. The conclusion is that one cannot attain shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Gosai through material opulence. That shelter is attainable only by pure devotional service. Anjabi lashita shunyam jnana kamajana vitamanu kalyena krishna nu shilanam bhakti utama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities of philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Actually, that's nice. We can just read before we start, before the Lord is finished, the text 8, and then we have all the mantras of Hanuman, which he says to praise Lord Ramachandra. Suru suru vyapyata vanaro nara sarvatmana yasu krita tyam utamam. Oh, we had a different verse. Bhaje taramam manajakritim harim ya utaram anayat koshalan divamiti. Therefore, whether one is a demigod or a demon, a man or creature other than man, such as a beast or bird, everyone should worship Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for he accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Thus he is satisfied, and as soon as he is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Sri Ramachandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home back to Godhead, Vaikuntha. Purport. Lord Sri Ramachandra is so kind and merciful to his devotees that he is very easily satisfied by a little service rendered by anyone, human or not. This is a specific advantage of worshipping Lord Ramachandra. And there is the same advantage in worshipping Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Krishna and Lord Ramachandra in the manner of Kshatriyas sometimes showed their mercy by killing asuras. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awarded love of God without difficulty even to the asuras, all the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But especially Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna and later Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered many of the living entities present before them, indeed almost all of them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore represented in the six-armed form of Shatbhuj Murti, which is a combination of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Shatbhuj Murti, the form of the Lord with six arms. Two arms of Ramachandra, two arms of Krishna and two arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, the best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Shatbhuj Murti, the form of the Lord with six arms. Two arms of Ramachandra, two arms of Krishna, and two arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only five Vaishnavas have taken darshan of the Shatbhuj today in the room. And these Vaishnavas were headed by Sri Krishna Chaitra Prabhu. The rest of you were absent. So there's still darshan time throughout the day up to late in the evening, but don't miss the chance today to have darshan of Shatbhuj so that your purpose, the best purpose of your human life, can be fulfilled. Tomorrow is too late. In my room. Oh. These are the prayers of Lord of Hanumanji in glorification of Lord Ramachandra. Here he says that everyone, either a demon or a demigod, a man or even an animal like Jatayu, the eagle, should worship Lord Ramachandra because he is so merciful. Even a little service is not forgotten by the Lord. In fact, in the Lanka Kanda of the Ramayana, the Lord explained that everyone who says, "My dear Lord, from this day on I'm yours," I'm certainly accepting him. He even accepted a demon, Bibhishan, who is the brother of the Lord of Lanka, of Ravana. All others wanted to immediately kill Bibhishan when he came with his monster form on the sky. He came actually to take shelter of Lord Ramachandra, but Sugriva and the others argued, by his genetic codex, biological programming, it is not possible that he becomes a devotee. He is not to be trusted. But Lord Ramachandra, seeing that he wanted to surrender, immediately accepted him. Immediately! There was no question actually in Ramachandra's mind. It went very fast. He got the admission immediately. So this is a specific quality of Ramachandra. Want to worship him. So before the curtain opens, I would like to bring a very interesting leela to your attention, in which we heard from Satyanarayan Prabhu in Vrindavan. It's about Hanuman and and a very interesting philosophical concept called Atmano Manyate Yagat, that everyone sees the universe according to his vision. I think I told it already, but some of you were not here, and so I want to explain it again. There was a great devotee called Ramdas who was reading the Ramayana. He was citing the Ramayana, and he came to the passage where Sita stay in Lanka is described. Sita was captured in the Ashok Garden, and this Ashok Garden was a personal garden of Ravan. It was something like the Schwetzinger Park. The Schwetzinger Park was for the Kurfürst. So it was described there how there were beautiful tanks of water, artificial tanks with white lotuses. So Ramdas read, and in the Ashok tree, in the Ashoka garden, there was a tank with a white with white lotus. All of a sudden, he heard a voice. No, they were red lotuses. When he looked, he saw the beautiful form of Hanuman before him. I was there, I saw it with my own eyes. They were not white. Ramdas was very pleased to see Hanuman, but he couldn't believe Hanuman. He said, the words of the Shastra are always true. Do you doubt in the Shastra? Well, it's not a question of doubt in the Shastra. I was there, said Hanuman. And I remember that they were white, red. Ramdas says, I can't believe you. I can't accept you. What? No, the Shastra is right. So Ramdas thought deeply, and he thought, well, Hanuman has come, maybe Sita will come. He said to Hanuman, I will call Mother Sita and you can ask her. After all, she stayed also in the park. He called Sita, and Sita, being so merciful and being so pleased by that recitation of Ramayana, appeared, and the quarrel. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Do you understand German, Mahaprabhu? Nothing. You could speak in English. So can I have, yeah, maybe you can go up in my room and look for the fifth canto, chapter 19. You have to see, because there are two volumes. So before starting this little reading session and then going over again to chanting bhajans and Hare Krishna, I would just like to welcome, first of all of you to the celebration, and stress a little bit the importance of this. In several of our ISKCON temples throughout the world, Srila Prabhupada has installed deities of Lord Ramachandra, of Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman. For instance, in London, we have a temple in Bombay. Deities are worshipped there. And as far as I know, also in Washington, Prabhupada wanted actually that Lord Rama rules Washington, the capital of political town of the most powerful nation in the on the planet. And we have also colorful festivals in Washington, which take place under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada. Especially in Delhi, still there is this festival of Ram Vijay Mahotsava. There's a huge place for doing this efficacy, zu Deutsch etwa Formen, of both Ram and Ravan are put up, and rockets are shot on strings which hit the form of Ravana, who is sometimes up to 20 meters high, maybe 50 meters high, and who burns before the cheering crowd into a heap of ashes. So today in India there will be a lot of fighting going on between fanatical Muslims and fanatical Hindus, and this little festival today where we try to remember chant his holy names, I think it's a very important festival in the sense that we as devotees of Ram are coming on the transcendental platform, and from there we wish well to all these hot-headed karmis. In the summary of the Das Avatar Stotra, Jayadev writes, as Ramachandra you conquer the Rakshasa king Ravana. Lord Rama is celebrated because of this victory over Ravana. As Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu has quoted this morning, Ravana means he who makes the whole world cry. He's a very powerful demon who gained much of his awesome power by the worship of Lord Shiva. What is not known generally is that he was a follower of the Vedic scriptures. In fact, his yajnas were the best ones in the then civilized world. They were so attractive. His chanting of Vedic yajnas, yajna mantra, was so attractive that Swaha, the wife of Agni, felt compelled to attend in person his yajna. But Ravana's mentality was always, or is always, to enjoy that which is Krishna's or that which is somebody else. It's a demoniac mentality. So one day he made a yajna, and whilst he was reciting the mantras, he saw all of a sudden the beautiful form of goddess Swaha emerge in the flames. And he became lusty towards her. His priest tried to stop the sinful dog, but he entered into the flames and took Swaha, kidnapped her by force to enjoy her. The priest said, "Wait a minute, let the yajna be finished before you do this sinful act." "Stop," asked Ravana. "You are emotionally disturbed when you say that now that the time of unity between a powerful man and a powerful woman has approached. There should be a stop there should be a stop. You are emotionally crippled. Let the real yagya, the vivaha yagya, go on. That is the marriage making. So such a demon he was. He was so powerful that no one could resist his power, and therefore he tried once to even bring Narada Muni, the great spiritual master, under his control. He asked him for initiation, and Narada just bluntly told him, "I think you're totally disqualified." "What? Don't you know that I can chant the Vedas better than anyone on the planet? What other qualification do you require? You have not a drop of sanity in your head," said Narada Muni. At this, Ravan, who first wanted to obtain initiation and guidance, totally turned against his chosen spiritual master. In fact, he took weapons into his hands and began to attack Narada Muni to force him to accept him as a disciple. You can just see what a demon this was. When he attacked Narada Muni, he was witness of something which is also explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was attacked by the Bataharis, the gypsies of southern India, the weapons which were hurled to hurt Mahaprabhu turned against the aggressors and cut them to pieces. In the same way, the powerful weapons which Ravana used to in order to force Narada Muni began to turn against Ravana and attack him. In this way, he stopped his demoniac aggression towards Narada Muni. So you can see, Lord Rama is celebrated in relationship to Ravana as he who conquered him and took the life force from Ravana. Ravana is the sum total, you could say. I mean, he's not a symbolic figure, but in his psychological makeup you find the demonic mentality in its maturity or partition. So today we thought of reading a few prayers to Ram, the conqueror of the wicked and evil demon Ravan, whom we can also worship as the conqueror of the demoniac mentality. We will read from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 19, a few slokas, and then return back to chanting the glories of the Lord. Shri Shuka Uvacha Kim Purushe Varshe Bhagavantam Adi Purushan Lakshmana Grajam Sita Biraman Raman Tacharana Sanikarshar Virata Parama Bhagavato Hanuman Saha Kim Purushair Avirata Pakti Upaste. Sukadev Goswami said, "My dear king, in King Purusha Varash, the great devotee Hanuman is always engaged with the inhabitants of that land in devotional service to Lord Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshman and dear husband of Sitadev." Text 2. A host of Gandharavas is always engaged in chanting the glories of Lord Ramachandra. That chanting is always extremely auspicious. Hanumanji and Arishtisena, the chief person in King Purushavash, constantly hear those glories with complete attention. Hanuman chants the following mantras. So apparently there are Gandharvas engaged in glorifying the Lord with choice musical instruments and interesting melodies. Hanuman, who hears these glorifications, in turn also chants mantras glorifying Lord Rama, and we will hear them in a little while. These are perfect mantras because they are spoken by the perfect servitor, as we heard this morning. Prabhupada, in the Puranas there are two different opinions concerning Lord Ramachandra. In the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, this is from Rupa Goswami, this is confirmed in the description of the incarnation of Manu. The Vishnu Dadamotara describes that Lord Ramachandra and his brothers Lakshman, Bharata and Shatrughna are incarnations of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha respectively. The Padma Purana, however, says that Lord Ramachandra is not an incarnation of Vasudev, he is an incarnation of Narayan, and that the other three brothers are incarnation of Shesha, that's Lakshman, he is not Sankarshan, but he is Shesha, instead of Pradyumna and Aniruddha appearing as Bharata and Shatrughna, here the Padma Purana says Chakra and Shankar, that is the fire wheel and the conch, appear as Bharata and Shatrughna. Therefore, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushana has concluded Tadidam Kalpa Beda Naiva Sambhavyam. Now, this is very interesting to hear how this apparent contradiction, Hare Krishna, is solved. Verstehst du Englisch? Wir sind nämlich so, wir sind noch nicht ganz sicher, in welcher Sprache wir hier uns bewegen. Eine kleine Sekunde. Who of you does not understand German, but only understands English? Ist irgendwann. Das ist so wie so ein Jumpstart von einem Auto. Man muss ein bisschen anschieben, dass dann läuft das irgendwann. Verstehst du Englisch? Ja? Gut. Also, so there is a contradiction in the Padma Puran and in the Vishnu Dharmatara. Now Baladev Vidyabhushana is going to solve it. He has said Tadidam Kalpa Bedenaiva Sambhavyam. In other words, these opinions are not contradictory. Why? In some millenniums, Lord Ramachandra and his brothers appear as incarnations of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. And in other millenniums, they appear as incarnations of Narayan, Shesha, Chakra and Shankar. The residence of Lord Ramachandra on this planet is Ayodhya. Ayodhya city is still existing in the district of Hyderabad, which is situated in the northern side of Uttar Pradesh. So, we will now hear the mantras recited by Hanuman in glorification of Lord Ramachandra. Om Namo Bhagavate Uttama Shlokaya Nama Arya Lakshana Shila Vrataya Nama Upashikshitat Mana Upasita Lokaya Namasadu Vadanikashanaya Namo Brahmanya Devaya Mahapurushaya Maharajaya Namaiti. Translation. Let me please your lordship by chanting the beach mantra Omkara. I wish to offer my respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, who is the best among the most highly elevated personalities. Your lordship is the reservoir of all the good qualities of Aryans, people who are advanced. Your character and behavior are always consistent, and you are always in control of your senses and mind. Acting just like an ordinary human being, you exhibit exemplary character to teach others how to behave. There is a touchstone that can be used to examine the quality of gold, but you are like a touchstone that can verify all good qualities. You are worshipped by Brahmanas. You are the foremost of all devotees. You, the Supreme Person, are the King of Kings, and therefore I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. And then Hanumanji chants this mantra. Yatat Vishudanu Bhava Matramekam Svateja Sadvasta Guna Vyavastam Pratyak Prashantam Sudiyo Palambhanam Jnanamarupam Niraham Prapadye. The Lord, whose pure form, Sachid Ananda Vigraha, is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature, can be perceived by pure consciousness. In the Vedanta, he is described as being one without a second. Because of his spiritual potency, he is untouched by the contamination of material nature. And because he is not subjected to material vision, he is known as transcendental. He has no material activities, nor has he a material form or name. Only in pure consciousness, Krishna consciousness, can one perceive the transcendental form of the Lord. Let us firmly be fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Ramachandra, and let us offer our respectful obeisances unto those transcendental lotus feet. So he is describing, Hanumanji is describing, that the Lord's body can only be perceived in pure consciousness or Rama consciousness, Krishna consciousness. In the Vedanta, it is described that the Lord is not subjected at any time to the material influence. There is an example offered of two fishes who swim in the water and see the moon. They swim towards the reflected moon in the water and ask him, what kind of fish are you? In other words, they think because he is appearing in the same atmosphere as water, he has become also an aquatic Wasserlebewesen, fully under the rules of living in the water. In the same way, foolish people, foolish people, Muruyam Abhijanati, it said, they don't know Abhijanati, the transcendental nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who remains the Lord and Master of the modes of material nature, although appearing in the midst of them. So, because he is totally pure, he can only be seen in pure Krishna consciousness. Hanumanji offers his respectful obeisances to that Supreme Lord. So, let us just read one more of these beautiful mantras in glorification. I just want to read you some very important. Prabhupada starts his purport with writing the verse which was quoted this morning. Ramadi Muti Sukalani Yamena Tishtan. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, who is always situated in various incarnations such as Rama, Narsingha, and many, many sub-incarnations as well, but who is the original Personality of Godhead, known as Krishna, and who incarnates personally also. Krishna, who is Vishnu Tattva, has expanded himself in many Vishnu forms, of which Lord Ramachandra is one. We know that the Vishnu Tattva is carried by the transcendental bird Garuda and is equipped with different types of weapons in four hands. Therefore we may doubt whether Lord Ramachandra could be in the same category, since he was carried by Hanuman and not by Garuda, and had neither four hands nor the Shankha, Chakra, Gada and Padma. Consequently, this verse clarifies that Ramachandra is as good as Krishna, Ramadi Mutishukala. Although Krishna is the original Supreme personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, is not different from him. Ramachandra is unaffected by the modes of material nature, and therefore he is prashanta, never disturbed by those modes. Unless one is saturated with love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot appreciate the transcendental value of Lord Ramachandra. One cannot see him with material eyes. Because demons like Ravana had no spiritual vision, they consider Lord Ramachandra an ordinary Kshatriya king. Ravana therefore attempted to kidnap Lord Ramachandra's eternal consort, Sita Devi. Actually, however, Ravana could not carry off Sita Devi in her original form. As soon as she was touched by Ravana's hands, she gave him a material form, but she maintained her original form beyond his vision. Therefore, in this verse, the words Pratyak Prashantam indicate that Lord Ramachandra and his potency, the goddess Sita, keep themselves aloof from the influence of the material energy. See, this is a very good explanation how the Lord is always transcendental. When Ravana, who was a creature of this world, came to capture Sita, he could not catch the original Sita Devi. He got a Maya form. Prabhupada uses this as an illustration to Krishna's disappearance. When Krishna disappeared, they found a body of his. And the demons say, well, he died. Look, we found the body. However, this body which they found was a Maya body. It was a manifestation of the Vishwarup, the universal form of the Lord, and not his transcendental body in which he appeared and in which he also left. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaro pripam. The Lord is always fixed in transcendence beyond the mode, and he can be perceived in the Vasudev stage of consciousness, of Vishuddha consciousness. Then, so what? Let us jump a little bit, because it's rather long and we will not be able to hear all the mantras if we read the whole. But here it is. Here's a very important point. The Jivatma is different from his name. We are different from our names, but the Paramatma is not. His name and he himself are one and the same. This is the meaning of Niraham, which means without material designation. This word cannot possibly be twisted to mean that the Paramatma has no ahankara, no I-ness, no identity. He has his transcendental identity as the Supreme. This is the explanation given by Srila Jiva Goswami. According to another interpretation given by Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur, Nidaham means Nirnishchayena Aham. Nidaham does not mean that the Supreme has no identity. Rather, the stress given by the word aham proves strongly that he does have his personal identity, because near not only means negative but also means strong ascertainment. Near aham means he is an I, he is an I-ness or identity. So let us hear the last shloka for now, and then we will go over to the chanting. Für unsere deutsch sprechenden Nicht-Anglikaner kurz, wir werden noch einen kurzen Text lesen und dann ein bisschen die Herrlichkeiten Lord Ramachandras singen, da kann man mitmachen. Madhyavataras tviva matya shikshanam raksho vadayai vana kevalam nibho Kutonyata syad ramata svatmana sita kritani vyasanana nishvarasya. Translation: it was ordained that Ravana, chief of the Rakshasas, could not be killed by anyone but a man. And for this reason, Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared in the form of a human being. Lord Ramachandra's mission, however, was not only to kill Ravana, but also to teach mortal beings that material happiness centered around sex life or centered around one's wife is the cause of many miseries. It was his mission. As Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu quoted today, Srila Prabhupada, he is a self-sufficient Supreme Personality of Godhead and nothing is lamentable for him. Therefore, why else could he be subjected to tribulations by the kidnapping of Mother Sita? This is a very, very interesting purport. Please hear with rapt attention. It might change your whole attitudes in life. Purport. When the Lord appears in this universe in the form of a human being, he has two purposes, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. To destroy the demons and protect the devotees. To protect the devotees, the Lord not only satisfies them by his personal presence, but also teaches them so that they will not fall down from devotional service. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra taught the devotees that it is better not to Kandu tivan manasiyam visaheta dira. Kripanas, those who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge and who are therefore just the opposite of Brahmanas, generally take to family life, which is a concession for sex. Thus they enjoy sex again and again, although that sex is followed by many tribulations. This is a warning to devotees. To teach this lesson to devotees and to human society in general, Lord Sri Ramachandra, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, underwent a series of tribulations because he accepted a wife, Mother Sita. Lord Ramachandra underwent these austerities, of course, only to instruct us. Actually, he never has any reason to lament for anything. Another aspect of the Lord's instructions is that one who accepts a wife must be a faithful husband and give her full protection. Human society is divided into two classes of men, those who strictly follow the religious principles and those who are devotees. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra wanted to instruct both of them how to fully adopt the discipline of the religious system and how to be a beloved and dutiful husband. Otherwise, he had no reason to undergo apparent tribulations. Just see, for those who strictly follow religious principles, he gave the example that one must protect his wife. Therefore, he went to through great troubles in order to save Sita from the hands of Ravana. And for the devotees, he had a different instruction, that is, to not marry. One who strictly follows religious principles must not neglect to provide all facilities for the complete protection of his wife. There may be some suffering because of this, but one must nevertheless endure it. I mean, that doesn't... it goes on. That is the duty of a faithful husband. By his personal example, Lord Ramachandra demonstrated this duty. Lord Ramachandra could have produced hundreds and thousands of sitas from his pleasure energy, but just to show the duty of a faithful husband, he not only rescued Sita from the hands of Ravana, but also killed Ravana and all the members of his family. Another aspect of the teachings of Lord Ramachandra is that although Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his devotees may apparently suffer from material tribulations, they have nothing to do with such tribulations. They are mukta purushas, liberated persons. under all circumstances. It is therefore said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Yata dekke boishnavera vyavahara dukha nishchaya janihataha paramananda sukha. A Vaishnava is always firmly situated in transcendental bliss because of engagement in devotional service. Although he may appear to suffer material pains, his position is called transcendental bliss in separation, viraha. The emotions a lover and beloved feel when separated from one another are actually very blissful, although apparently painful. Therefore, the separation of Lord Ramachandra from Sita Devi, as well as the consequent tribulations they suffered, is but another display of transcendental bliss. That is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So these two instructions here, by his personal example, Lord Ramachandra taught the devotees that it is better not to enter married life, which is certainly followed by many tribulations, doesn't mean that someone who is married is not a devotee, because he and only a religious person. This is certainly not what should be read or can be from this text. We have certainly very, very good Grihastha devotees. However, the instruction I think is very clear. So let us now, that was Canto 5, Chapter 19, verse number 5. So let us now request our Krishna Sita Prabhu to chant some more, maybe Hare Krishna or Sita Ram or whatever, or both. Don't you want to come here, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu? Then it's more lively for the audience to bring out this microphone here and track Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, the Sache rüber, the harmonium. It's much more nicer if devotees can see you. Then it's more lively, they can follow more. So, unsere Gäste, die gerade gekommen sind, bitte singt mit großem Einsatz jetzt mit. Wir können ja auch das Harmonium stärken. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we will continue our little reading with text number 6 of the 19th chapter, Canto 5. Navaisa atmatma vatam surittama saktas trilokyam bhagavan vasudeva nastri kritam kasmalam ashnuvita nalakshamanam chapivihatam mati. Since Lord Sri Ramachandra is a supreme personality of Godhead Vasudev, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshman, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. In defining the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we say that he is full in all six opulences: wealth, fame, strength, influence, beauty, and renunciation. He is called renounced because he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is specifically attached to the spiritual world and the living entities there. The affairs of the material world take place under the superintendence of Durga Devi. Everything is going on under the strict rules and regulations of the material energy represented by Durga. Therefore, the Lord is completely detached and need not give attention to the material world. Sita Devi belongs to the spiritual world. Similarly, Lord Lakshman, Ramachandra's younger brother, is a manifestation of Sankarshan, and Lord Ramachandra himself is Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Lord is always spiritually qualified, he is attached to servants who always render transcendental loving service unto him. He is attached to the truth in life, not to brahminical qualities. Indeed, he is never attached to any material qualities. Although he is the super soul of all living entities, he is specifically manifest to those who are self-realized, and he is especially dear to the hearts of his transcendental devotees. Because Lord Ramachandra descended to teach human society how dutiful a king should be, he apparently gave up the company of Mother Sita and Lakshman. Actually, however, he could not have given them up. One should therefore learn about the activities of Lord Ramachandra from a self-realized soul. Then one can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. So, here in this purport, the explanation of Leela is given, a transcendental play of the Lord. It is fully under the control of the player what happens in the play. In the same way, the episodes in Ramachandra's manifest pastimes are totally under his control, meant for our benefit. Text 7. Na janmanu na mahato na sobhagam na vana buddhiyan na kritis toshahetu tayar yat vishrishtan apino vano kashas chakara sakye bata lakshmana grajaha. Translation. One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities, such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. So, please, now Hanumanji will explain to all of us how we can be related to Ramachandra. And he starts with a negation. He says, not by material qualities as such as birth, beauty, eloquence, sharp intelligence, and so on and so forth, a relationship to the Lord can be established. The reason is given in the verse before, where Lord Ramachandra is described as being totally unattached to anything in the material world, even brahminical qualities. So, none of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite, voraussetzung, for friendship with Lord Sri Ramachandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we uncivilized inhabitants of the forest have not taken noble birth, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends? See, this is a very touching verse. When Hanuman and his associates, the Vanaras, monkeys in other words, returned after the siege of Lanka, siege means an angriff, and then the victory over Lanka, they passed by a beautiful forest which was kept by Sugriva, the king, for his enjoyment. This forest was a monkey forest. You know, monkeys, what do they like? Good fruits and honey to drink and get all clouded in the brain. When Hanuman and his other Vanaras passed this garden, they were in such... Actually, it was not after the victory over the Rakshasa army. It was when they came back from the search of Sita. They had found Sita. This is the exact situation. So they passed by this garden. And when they looked at the fruits and at the honey, they could not control their senses. They were really monkeys. So they gave the guardians a solid beating and then just jumped on the trees and ate them and drank all the honey. And that one guardian was called Daddy something, Daddy Baksh. His name was Daddy Baksh. I mean, he saw these monkeys, you know, just devastating the garden which was meant for the king. So Daddy Baksh went to the king Sugriva and said, "Do you know what happened? Hanuman and his men, they just destroyed your lust garden, your enjoyable garden. They couldn't control their senses. They even beat up our own people to just get to the honey. They're so monkey-like." So Sugriva said, let them go on. I have the feeling that they can only do such a thing because they are in good spirit. It must mean that they fouled Sita. If they were depressed, then a depressed monkey doesn't really have good appetite. So they must bring good news. They found Mother Sita. So let them go on. They can have my garden and destroy it totally. So therefore, see, this is one of the background. Hanumanji says, if Ramachandra would require a civilized behavior, aristocratic family, personal beauty, eloquence, sharp intelligence, or the membership of a superior race or nation, then we would have no chance. We are uncivilized inhabitants of the forest. We have not taken noble birth, and we have no physical beauty, and we cannot speak like gentlemen. I mean, it's a total description for our own Western situation. So, nevertheless, Lord Ramachandra accepted his friend. Now, Prabhupada makes a beautiful purport. Please give your best in the category of your hungry attention to listen to this. In a prayer to Krishna expressing her feelings, Srimati Kunti Devi called him Akinchana Gochara. The prefix A means not, and Kinchana means something of this material world. One may be very proud of his prestigious position, material wealth, beauty, education, and so on. But although these are certainly good qualifications in material dealings, they are not necessary for achieving friendship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who possesses all these material qualities is expected to become a devotee, and when he actually does, the qualities are properly utilized. Those who are puffed up by a high birth, wealth, education, and personal beauty, Janmaishvarya Shuddha Shri, unfortunately do not care for developing Krishna consciousness. Nor does the Supreme Personality of Godhead care about all these material qualifications. The Supreme Lord is achieved by devotion, bhakti amang abhijanati. One's devotion and sincere desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the only qualifications. Rupa Goswami has one's devotion and the sincere desire to serve. Rupa Goswami has also said that the price for achieving God's favor is simply one's sincere eagerness to have it. Lolyam ekamulyam. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is said, Kola vecha seva kera deka bhakya sima. Brahma Shiva kande jara dekhiya mahima. Dane jane panditye krishna nahi pai. Kevala bhakti davashak chaitanya gosai. Behold the great fortune of the devotee Kola vecha. Lord Brahma and Shiva shed tears upon seeing his greatness. One cannot attain Lord Krishna by any amount of wealth, followers or learning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is controlled only by pure devotion. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very sincere devotee whose name was Kola Vecha Shrita and whose only business was to sell pots made out of the skin of banana trees. Whatever income he had, he used 50% for the worship of Mother Ganges, and with the other 50% he provided for his necessities. On the whole, he was so very poor that he lived in a cottage that had a broken roof with many holes in it. He could not afford brass utensils, and therefore he drank water from an iron pot. Nevertheless, he was a great devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a typical example of how a poor man with no material possession can become an exalted devotee of the Lord. The conclusion is that one cannot attain shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Gosai through material opulence. That shelter is attainable only by pure devotional service. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamajana vritamanu kalyena krishnanu silanam bhakti uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities of philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Actually, that's nice. We can just read before we start, before the Lord is finished, the text 8, and then we have all the mantras of Hanuman, which he says to praise Lord Ramachandra. Suru suru vyapyata vanaro nara sarvatmanaya sukrita kyam utamam. We had a different verse later. Bhaje taramang manajakritimharim yautarang anayat koshalan divamiti. Therefore, whether one is a demigod or a demon, a man or creature other than man, such as a beast or bird, everyone should worship Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for he accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Thus he is satisfied, and as soon as he is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Sri Ramachandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead, Vaikuntha. Purport. Lord Sri Ramachandra is so kind and merciful to his devotees that he is very easily satisfied by a little service rendered by anyone, human or not. This is a specific advantage of worshipping Lord Ramachandra. And there is the same advantage in worshipping Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Krishna and Lord Ramachandra in the manner of Kshatriyas sometimes showed their mercy by killing asuras. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awarded love of God without difficulty even to the asuras, all the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But especially Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna, and later Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered many of the living entities present before them, indeed almost all of them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore represented in the six-armed form of Shatbhuj Murti, which is a combination of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Shatbhuj Murti, the form of the Lord with six arms. Two arms of Ramachandra, two arms of Krishna and two arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, the best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Shatbhuj Murti, the form of the Lord with six arms. two arms of Ramachandra, two arms of Krishna, and two arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only five Vaishnavas have taken darshan of the Shat Puja today in the room. And these Vaishnavas were headed by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu. The rest of you were absent. And so there is still darshan time throughout the day up to late in the evening. But don't miss a chance today to have darshan of Shat Puja, so that your purpose, the best purpose of your human life, can be fulfilled. Tomorrow is too late. In my room. Oh. So these are the prayers of Lord of Hanumanji in glorification of Lord Ramachandra. Here he says that everyone, either a demon or a demigod, a man or even an animal like Jatayu, the eagle, should worship Lord Ramachandra because he is so merciful. Even a little service is not forgotten by the Lord. In fact, in the Lanka Kanda of the Ramayana, the Lord explained that everyone who says, "My dear Lord, from this day on I'm yours," I'm certainly accepting him. He even accepted a demon, Bibishan, who is the brother of Lord of the Lord of Lanka, of Ravan. All others wanted to immediately kill Bibishan when he came with his monster form on the sky. He came actually to take shelter of Lord Ramachandra, but Sugriva and the others argued, by his genetic codex, biological programming, it is not possible that he becomes a devotee. He is not to be trusted. But Lord Ramachandra, seeing that he wanted to surrender, immediately accepted him. Immediately! There was no question actually in Ramachandra's mind. It went very fast. He got the admission immediately. So this is a specific quality of Ramachandra. Want to worship him. So before the curtain opens, I would like to bring a very interesting leela to your attention, which we heard from Satyanarayan Prabhu in Vrindavan. It's about Hanuman and and a very interesting philosophical concept called Atmano Manjate Jagat, that everyone sees the universe according to his vision. I think I told it already, but some of you were not here, and so I want to explain it again. There was a great devotee called Ramdas who was reading the Ramayana. He was citing the Ramayana, and he came to the passage where Sita's stay in Lanka is described. Sita was captured in the Ashok Garden, and this Ashok Garden was a personal garden of Ravan. It was something like the Schwetzinger Park. The Schwetzinger Park was for the Kurfürst. So it was described there how there were beautiful tanks of water, artificial tanks with white lotuses. So Ramdas read, and in the Ashok tree, in the Ashoka garden, there was a tank with a white white lotus. All of a sudden he heard a voice. No! They were red lotuses. When he looked, he saw the beautiful form of Hanuman before him. I was there, I saw it with my own eyes. They were not white. Ramdas was very pleased to see Hanuman. But he couldn't believe Hanuman. He said, the verse of the Shastra are always true. Do you doubt in the Shastra? Well, it's not a question of doubt in the Shastra. I was there, said Hanuman. And I remember that they're white, red. And they said, I can't believe you. I can't accept you. What? No, the Shastra is right. So Ramdas thought deeply and he thought, well, Hanuman has come, maybe Sita will come. He said to Hanuman, I will call Mother Sita and he can ask her. After all, he stayed also in the past. He called Sita, and Sita, being so merciful and being so pleased by that recitation of Ramayan, appeared, and the quarrel